The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and will go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. The fourth Sunday of Easter is known as Good Shepherd Sunday when we read the Good Shepherd monologue from the 10th chapter of John. Now, this is a very complicated passage in that Jesus identifies himself as being the Good Shepherd, the gatekeeper, the gate, and even a sheep himself. So it would be the assertion of this gospel that Jesus was in fact the Logos, God's Word, made flesh to dwell among us. And so it could be argued, and indeed should be, that Jesus knew as much about being one of the sheep of God's pasture as anyone among us. But to make matters even more confusing, when the Bible uses the term shepherd, it not only refers to a shepherd, but to spiritual leadership, and it often refers to political leadership. The political leaders of Israel and the rulers of occupying nations such as Babylon and Greece and Rome are often castigated for being wicked and bad shepherds. Or by our Lord's own words, they are identified as thieves and bandits. As much as we might like to pretend our Lord Jesus was meek and mild, lying as a baby in the manger for 30 years of his life, he really did have some rather startling... Did I get that wrong, Lord? Was I wrong? Back to the sermon. He did have some startling political things to say and do in his later years along the way to the cross, the grave, and the resurrection. Now, today's gospel misses one crucial assertion of Jesus in verse 15. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold." The church is always haunted by the notion that perhaps one can be of God and not be of the church. But long before there was a church, Jesus makes it clear that all of God's children, all of God's sheep, are not all of one flock. That verse, which was not included in today's reading, may be the most important one for us to reflect upon and embody and to make our own. God has other sheep and will and does provide for them, as God does and will provide for us. In fact, until we can really embrace that singular notion, it strikes me as impossible for us to claim what is at the heart of this gospel, that Jesus comes so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Now, all of this is not some sort of marketing scheme to suggest that if we pray and pray and pray, we will get everything we want. As it turns out, that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit all agree that we should, in fact, learn to live with just what we need. What we want and what we need are two entirely different realms of abundance. And until we get that straight, we will read and reread our first lesson from the books of the Acts of the Apostle and be eternally baffled by it. In the second chapter of Acts, the early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. You might recognize that from our baptismal liturgy, as about 70% of our Book of Common Prayer comes directly from Scripture. We read that all they had, they shared in common. Not some things, not a lot of things, but all things in common. In our religious orders in the Episcopal Church, which we do have them, they do believe in sharing everything in common. And there is the story, true story, of a monk who received a shirt for his birthday from his parents. But it had to go into the common closet. And one day he saw one of the monks who he didn't particularly like wearing that shirt. Holy poverty at its best. So we read that all things would be redistributed to any as had need. And day by day, God added to their numbers. Why did people flock to this early church? Just look at them. They shared everything with one another, including the most valuable commodity of all, time. They spent much time together. Isn't it amazing? We find it nearly impossible to find the time to spend an hour or two once a week with one another, whereas they spent much time together. Now, there are two things to consider in this. First, we tend to say to ourselves, well, you know, things were much simpler back then, so they could just do that. Well, I think not. Just consider that if you spent much time with other Christians, the good and civilized people of the Roman Empire would hunt you down, lock you up, and send you to the lions to toy with. The second thing we need to think about is that the abundance promised consisted primarily of time shared with others, not an abundance of things. As Jesus asserts time and time again, spending all our time on the acquisition, accumulation, and consumption of things leaves precious little time for fellowship, relationships, and community. Someone once said that no one puts on their tombstone, "I wish I had spent more time in the office." Now, the world of acquisition, accumulation, and consumption is a lonely life, an isolated life, where one spends a lot of time building and filling barns, and nowadays, self-storage lockers, filled with more and more stuff. There's no time for fellowship, relationships, and community in such a scheme, let alone time to make room for the Lord to add to our number those who are being saved. God sent Jesus to help us to understand all of this. God sent Jesus to deliver this news. God sent Jesus to call into community people who want to live this way, people who want to know God's love and care for them in this way. We all want to be those people who come in and go out of the sheepfold. We all want to experience that kind of freedom. We all want to experience the kind of care and protection described by Jesus and by Luke in the book of Acts. But Jesus is the one who promises this kind of protection to all who desire to be a part of his flock. It really all does hinge on our stewardship of time, especially our observance of Sabbath time, that time when we can rest, be refreshed, the seventh day of creation, when God rested from all of God's labors. Now, during the period of isolation because of COVID, it seemed as though we spent a lot of Sabbath time alone, whether we liked it or not. My heart always went out to those people who were not married and lived alone. During that time, for many of us, our normal weekly schedule was totally changed. We had to learn a lot of new tricks, like how to order groceries from Publix to get delivered to your house. But there are those of us who have slowed down to what appears to be Sabbath time. No work, no play, no visits with friends and family. Now that can be lonely, because we're still called to become those people who spend much time with one another. In some ways, it's an extrovert versus introvert personality type. If you're an extrovert, you want to be out there talking to people, making people know you and you knowing people. If you're an introvert, I'd rather read a book, thank you. Hard to believe, isn't it? I'm the introvert. But we are still called to become the kind of people who do pray together. Not alone, not by ourselves, although I do commend that to you in your private time, but in community, in the ways that we can define it at this period of time. Mostly, however, We are called to be in relationship with God in Christ. This can be a great time to strengthen that relationship, as we can only depend on God right now. Ultimately, our shepherd will supply our needs. Amen.